flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the famouser Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
We have to wait.
What do we have to wait for?
Seth Nicity on the Twitch said BRB, guys, so we should wait until he gets back.
Okay, what do you guys want to talk about in the meantime?
How was your night? Everything go all right? You get sleep? I woke up at 2 this morning and never went back to bed.
I watched Raw.
Oh.
There's a lot of talking.
There is a lot of talking.
But a dude hit his head, like, I'm serious.
JD McDonagh.
A dude did a backflip and tried to land it, unfortunately went a hair too far, and he hit his head on the announcer's table. And
you
not
saw
like
that,
a,
right, Alec? That was terrifying.
Not
that
like
was
a crazy fake table, but like a real table that didn't move. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And to your point, Corey, God bless my wife. She woke up at 4 o'clock with Noah, and he decided that it was time to play.
Oh, okay.
So thank you very much.
She has the boobs. Was he hungry?
He is 2.5 years old.
So he's eating hard food now?
Yes. Yeah. Some kids breastfeed up to 6.
Yeah. I've
seen, 6?
I've seen,
it's a weird. It's a
that.
Weird thing.
Whoa.
Sometimes even adults are like, hey.
Stop this. Stop. You already proved you could out
coffee.
Hardcore
you have to keep,
joke me this morning.
You
all
have
right?
to keep breastfeeding for the milk to keep happening. Yeah. So,
oh my God, it's gone so bad so fast. I hope
what
Seth
he's saying is like some guys,
hey,
well,
look,
the woman has to be producing milk for a baby.
It was
a
my wife and she had a baby.
Ethnicity like, is hey. Back or he's not. We're moving on because I can't take this anymore. All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We will dive into a whole bunch of different things. But as you can probably guess, we're going to start off. I want to go back to yesterday for a minute because my question for the fans, and then I want to get y'all's take as well. The hire has been made. The presser's taking place now. Will you give Brian Schottenheimer a chance? And I want to talk about some of the other coaching moves that the Cowboys have made as well. But I want to know to the fan base, because there was a lot of negativity yesterday. And I understand I was part of a lot of that negativity because I love the Cowboys. I was born and raised here in the Metroplex, just like all you guys. But it's done. There's nothing you can do to stop it now. Will Cowboys fans give Brian Schottenheimer a chance? And does that even matter?
Well, what do you feel as a chance? Like how long before they start booing? Or how long before the negativity turns to positivity? Or does it turn to positivity first and then reel back a little bit?
Like I know this is a super low bar, but will we get to game one and people will say, I'm curious to see what Schottenheimer does as opposed to, well, the season is already over because our head coach sucks.
We're not seeing anything in preseason.
I would assume not.
They're going to be like, why would we show anything in the preseason?
Yeah.
Like, because you have to get good at stuff. Like, you're not good yet.
Yeah.
Kevin, I guess 4 games into the season is when I'll start going, okay. But then, even still, 4 games into this last season, their offense and defense wasn't what it was at their best.
Definitely.
So I'm kind of trying to figure out, like, I think 4 games is a good idea of what's going on.
And by the way, somebody already said, LOL, yes, from the 682. What kind of question is that? Of course we want him to succeed.
I think people do.
For the most part.
I think Joneses to fail.
I think there is a subsection that's like that say they want the Cowboys to fail because that means the Jones family will fail. I don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way, but I agree that there are people like that.
And so that's why I kind of wanted to see. And that's all I'm asking is, can we just get to the first game and you're like, hey, maybe you're concerned about the way our cap works and our quarterback coming back from injury. I'm not here to dispute any of that. But I'm curious if we'll get to the first game and people will give Schottenheimer a chance. And then after the first game, I'm assuming all bets are off because that's just how sports work.
Mm-hmm. From the 254, I've been through 4 Super Bowls, so I know what it feels like to win. So they're like that. If you guys come back from Oxnard and tell us that things look different, I might bite. I trust your guys' evaluations more than I do Jerry or Stevens' evaluations. From the 806, I'll definitely give him a chance. He deserves that. I became a fan, Shoddy, when y'all interviewed him at training camp. I just don't trust the Joneses.
Okay, and can I go back to yesterday? I know I said this, and I appreciate it. I thought Bobby had a really good answer to, well, the Jones, Steve and Jerry needed to be there or else people would accuse them of ducking the media. I actually think that is a well-thought-out answer Bobby.
They've been accused of that before.
Yeah.
And nobody cared.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. No, they just rinse and repeat.
That is true. But I think the sentiment would be so much different today if it was just Schottenheimer up there talking about what he learned from Pete Carroll and his other coaching experiences, talking about how he was so bummed that his dad never got that Super Bowl as a head coach. And one of the things that he would love to do is win a Super Bowl. And like, it can be in part for his dad. That feels like a very like a message that would resonate with people. And you're like, I also have a dad that I want to make proud, or a parent, or whatever. And so, like, I think he would have been so much better off if every third question wouldn't have gone to him. It would have been every question, and then the Jones family wouldn't have been answering in between.
Kevin, I think it would have been the way you want to position it, too, by just having him up there. Every time he answered a question, I felt like I was being given stuff from the Joneses, too.
Okay.
So by them being there, I was looking at them and listening and hearing them, and everything felt like a lie. Everything felt like no credibility either. Like, Schottenheimer doesn't have credibility yet, and he's trying to earn it with this press conference. Well, the Joneses don't have credibility with me either right now.
Sure.
Because the Joneses, how many playoff wins, Mike, do they have in the last
4, because Tony Romo has 2 and Dak has 2. Okay. So literally, obviously, Troy Aikman had more.
Yeah.
But
so four playoff wins.
I think
wins
in 1999, they won a game. They beat somebody, then got destroyed.
Yes.
So I think 1999, they won a playoff game. So they've had 5 playoff wins since 1996, they've had 5 playoff wins.
So the credibility for them to tell me that they are striking gold with this one is weird to me, right? It's not credible to me. So that's why when them sitting there, it deteriorated Schottenheimer's credibility to me. So that's what that was yesterday. But again, I sleep on it, listen to more of what he said, the way he said things, and I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful for him because I like him as a person.
And I think it's only 4.
Okay.
For some reason,
I thought Aikman won 1 game
in 96.
In 96. So 99, they were out in the first round.
Yeah, correct.
So there you go. Yeah, so that, like, why would I believe?
Fair.
Over this time, you guys have just been unlucky in finding the right coach to get you multiple playoff wins. Oh, what, Jason Garrett had multiple playoff wins. Other than that, nobody. So, like, why would I believe that when they're sitting next to him going, this is the guy? guys, we know what he can do. You just haven't seen it yet. It's not credible for me yet.
And I wanted you guys to, for the first 7 to 10 minutes, kind of get that off of your chest. And I don't want fans to stop answering this question if you're going to give them a chance or not. But the thing is about this question is I go, the Jones family isn't going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
They're not going to give him a chance to set the culture. They're not going to give him a chance to really change things up or make drastic changes. Jerry Jones doesn't allow that. And then because he's their daddy, Jerry Jr. and Charlotte and Steven, the kids that are part of the organization, they're not going to upset daddy. I like the question. I just think the real question is, will Jerry allow Shoddy to actually be the head coach and to set the culture that he believes he can set?
And Kevin, I said this on Twitter this morning. I think Mike would probably agree. I think any coaches we've ever worked with in our history, going back to high school, I've always felt that if they're all talking culture, every single one of them, every college coach that gets hired, culture, everybody's saying culture.
Right.
All right. So they're all wanting to say it. The action again of it, the action is going to be the excellence that comes from it.
Sure.
But in my world, it's always been, they've had a tremendous amount of respect for the man in charge. And then all the lieutenants in that locker room or clubhouse were strong presences. And therefore, he didn't have to be the one bringing the hammer down on everybody all the time, but everybody knew he could. But Schottenheimer, again, doesn't necessarily have the hammer, and I don't know who he's going to in that locker room that's going to be the one patrolling that locker room and saying, we're changing the culture here, because it feels like those guys have been here for a while.
I don't like this for Shoddy, because I'm not saying he's a good coach or a bad coach. I obviously have no clue. We know that 31 teams didn't really want him as a head coach or an offensive coordinator in this offseason or the off.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season before, because he could have taken another job and nobody was offering it. This is a career-ending move for him. And what I mean by this is, if you look at the Cowboys, and we'll get to Mike asked football questions, so I'll kind of ask a question like this, but I don't think it's going to go too well. I think salary cap wise, we'll get to that at 12:20. They're going to probably not be in great shape and not really do anything different. Your quarterback is getting older in a hurry, even though they lied about like where he's at health wise yesterday. I look at it and go, just like Chris Woodward, he hasn't been offered another job. We've never even heard him being offered another job after taking over a rebuilding situation. And I know I'm going to the sport that I know best, Bo Porter, who was the rebuilding manager for the Houston Astros, and they hired A.J. Hinch. Well, A.J. Hinch got another job, even though he's part of a cheating scandal that was factual. Detroit's like, he's a heck of a manager. He kept getting that team to the World Series and to the playoffs, where Bo Porter couldn't do anything for Houston. Bo Porter's now doing more television stuff than coaching stuff. And I think that for Shoddy, he took a job that for a max of four years, he's going to not do that good at. And then hopefully he gets a Jason Garrett job after this and he can work off of the Cowboys fame to get a job in media. To me, this was a career ending move for him, but I get it. It wasn't like he was getting offered the last few years quality jobs.
I want to go into this text specifically. Because I just disagree.
Have you seen much positivity on the fan text, Kevin?
No.
And I've seen some people say they're going to give him the chance because to get to the season is what they got to wait for.
Two really clever texts that I liked was they hired a Teemu Nick Sirianni.
Come on.
And then follow in the footsteps of Cody Rhodes and finish the story. So obviously, I really like those texts.
I actually really do like that one a lot. That is because listen, I didn't watch it, but I know you guys did.
Yeah.
And I knew what the story was, and having sat with him and seen how much him and his brother care about that conversation meant a lot to me.
And so this is the text I wanted to focus in on, because I fundamentally just disagree with this line of thinking. From the 682, any hope is stupidity. It's been proven over and over again. Stop being an effing sheep. It's the second part that I disagree with. I don't follow the Cowboys. I don't root for the Cowboys. I don't love the Cowboys because I'm a sheep. I don't do that because I hear Jerry Jones or Steven or Will McClay or whoever. And I'm like, that's a damn fine point. This is our year. I support the Cowboys and I follow the Cowboys because that's the team that I love. I've said that time and again. I just want that person to know I get why people are not in on the Cowboys, or like you don't think the Cowboys are going to win.
Yep.
I'm not arguing that whatsoever. You're right. Their salary cap is in a really bad spot. I do have concerns about their injury quarterback coming back. All of that is fair. But I root for the Cowboys because that's the team I watched with my mom growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's just the way it is. And that's the way it's always going to be.
That's how Jerry got most of us.
Yeah.
He knows that based on that nostalgia, we're going to stick around for it. And he just has to open up the doors to let you in just enough.
And for me, and probably the next generation, it's too late, because that's how I fell in love with sports. And I watched the Cowboys with Brandon all the way growing up. He is also pessimistic, but loves the team in the same stupid, infuriating way that I do. But it's not because I believe what's being sold to me. It's because, for better or worse, I was born geographically in this place and I feel attached to that sports team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't feel that way,
what a random thing.
That's totally fine.
What a random thing how just being born in a place in the world, you got plopped down. And you became a fan there. And people say you can't be a fan of anything else because of it.
I think you can.
Oh, that's different. Like, that's
And I absolutely think you can, and I respect Mike's point of view. That's just not my direction. And I don't think people who continue to cheer for the Cowboys should be called sheep or stupid. They love who they love, and that's the way it is.
Love is love. You've always said that.
That is true.
Yeah, that's always
the whole point of fandom. Is you get crushed all the time for these idiotic beliefs and opinions and hopes and dreams that you have.
I'm oftentimes a Cleveland Guardians fan because Mike played for them. Like, that's the only reason. A lot of times I'm like, well, my friend Mike played for them, so I'm going to root for them today. Or the Mets.
Sure.
But never the Nationals. I don't know why. Is there something about Washington? I just can't. Sorry,
Mike. Because you're not a nationalist.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Thank you, Mike.
Did they ever call their fans that? Probably not, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike asks all the football questions.
Could Jerry do this again if he was 20 years younger? Next.
Mahomes was looking that way, breaking down, able to get rid of it. And somehow, at the end, I think the Bills, no, they're going to say Worthy has possession. We got a flag down. But this is a catch by Worthy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to allow Mike to ask all the football questions.
All right. Since Jerry Jones is the face of the franchise, and he was able to accomplish that pretty quickly by winning 3 Super Bowls, my question is this. I can't ask it today if he bought a team. He doesn't have enough time left in his life to make a major impact in an organization.
I got you.
I'm going to put him at 62 years old. He bought the team at 46 years old, I believe
Something
he said yesterday.
Along those
right
lines.
Around that age. So let's put him at about 60 years old.
Okay.
Instead of 82 years old. If he were to buy another team struggling financially and he had 20 to 30 more years of life left in him, do you think he could do the same things that he was able to accomplish with the Cowboys?
I do not. And here's one of the reasons. I think the avenue that he exploited and did a great job of in the NFL is monetizing more of their deals with different companies and stuff.
Pepsi and
exactly,
Miller Lite.
Exactly. He did a great job with that. Well, now the NFL learned from that and they're like, we're going to monetize the crap out of everything. So I'm not saying he couldn't be successful in any way. I don't think he would just surge in this concept.
When you ask this, are you talking about on-field success or the income, the revenue?
It's a great follow-up question. And because my follow-up question would be this, if you want to answer this question and not that question, is let's say he took over the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Arizona Cardinals. They struggle to sell out games. Does that make sense? Okay. Like, yes. People don't really want to go to those games because they're losers. So if he bought a losing franchise and winning mattered, like it, you had to win. There's no way to just sell crap. Yeah. He figured out how to do it, but it was by winning first. He's like, I've won enough. Now people don't care about the winning and losing. I won in that way.
But trying to win.
If he had to buy a team financially that was struggling and they were not getting butts in the seats because they don't win, like, do you think he could accomplish those things?
I don't. Because the way he did it here, in that respect, he brought in edgy head coach that had all the power in the world that he needed. I don't know that he knows what he's looking for there. If he's looking for that Jimmy Johnson type of personality. So I don't think he could do that. Now, do I think he could get butts in seats without winning? Yes. I think that he would stir up enough stuff that he would get interest in him and interest in some of the players, probably the quarterback and this and that. He would get interest. But the winning part, I just don't know if he's going to have that kind of success.
I guess I'm going to kind of chime in here instead of just asking the next question.
Oh, crap. Mike answers all the football questions.
Mike asks Mike.
I struggle with this because, one, I got to watch my language. Our boss told us to not call Jerry James names or say he's stupid or
dumb.
Did you
just call him Jerry James?
Heck yeah,
he did. He is.
Okay.
Good, close enough. I don't know if he deserves his last name right now.
Oh, no.
When it comes to Jerry, trying to watch my words carefully so I don't get called into the office. I struggle with this because I think he's smart.
Yeah.
I think in a way he's even football smart.
Hey.
But then I question myself going, why am I giving him that credit if for close to 40 years, it feels like here, since like he got rid of Jimmy Johnson, he refuses to do smart football things. So I'm like, I think he's smart enough to know how to get this thing back on track, or if he had enough time in his life, if he had to take over another organization, how to make it a winning franchise first. Because he would know with Arizona, he'd have to make it a winner first, and then he could sell everything afterwards and make zillions and zillions of dollars. Do you guys think he's football smart and intentionally does it wrong, or he's not football smart and is doing it what he thinks is the right way, which 99.9% of the people know it's the wrong way?
I think he's football smart, but there are a lot of other football smarter people. And
I like the way you said that.
He doesn't necessarily want to hear that there are other smarter people all the time, but he does listen to the smart people that he knows. You know, he'll tell you that every time. Listen, I call people all the time and have conversations with them. I think he has more information than a lot of us outsiders have. So I do think he's smart enough to know some things, but there are a lot of other smarter people.
I do think he's football smart, but he got to the point where he was like, it doesn't matter anymore. You said it. It doesn't matter if you win at that level. You just need to win at a certain level to keep your relevancy. And so I do think he's football smart and chooses to do otherwise, which is really infuriating.
I think that's where I'm at with it too, but I kind of struggle with that as I've quit the Cowboys.
Because
he goes against his own knowledge a lot of times, where he's just like, but that's not going to get me
because,
this factor.
Okay, because think about it. And I'm dead serious about this. And sorry if we're cutting into your questions, Mike.
No, it's
but
fine.
I think some sort of, you know how you've always heard the awful stories about like companies will determine what are the lawsuits versus the cost to fix everything up. I think the Cowboys have done a cost-benefit analysis of how much it would take in terms of manpower and time and money to go win the Super Bowl or try to get in that mix for real. And then I think they've cross-referenced that with the amount of increased revenue and decided it's not a winner. Yeah.
If I'm wrong here, every team that fired their head coach or didn't bring them back, they've hired a coach. Am I correct? Has every coach...
Except for the Saints.
Saints. Thank you. The Saints. All right. So out of all of the coaching jobs that have now been filled, the head coaching jobs, which coach will have the biggest positive impact on their organization?
This year?
Well, I think for like 5 years from now, the organization's going to be like, that was a great hire, and we don't have to worry about hiring another guy for another 3 or 4 years. So it's like 5 years okay. from now, they're like, this was a great hire.
My answer then is Ben Johnson. My short-term answer was going to be Pete Carroll.
Man, we're on the same cycle, Mike.
Oh, Don't say it like that.
Yeah.
I just think for this year, Pete Carroll can bring that attitude into the room that you need, and you're going to see a bump up. I just don't know, like, long-term, they're still the Raiders, okay. how that all is going to work. So long-term, I do believe in Ben Johnson.
That is a disenchanted franchise.
Sure.
And it is bumbling around a lot on the field.
Definitely.
On the field, which I don't think Pete Carroll is going to allow. And I think he knows how to get the message okay. across.
The Raiders make the Cowboys look like the Chiefs.
Now, Vrabel, on the other hand, though, is a guy that I think you're going to go, yes, they were good. But I don't think you're going to go, man, they were amazing. So
okay.
that's kind of where yeah. I feel is he immediately, I think they win a few more games, but I don't think you're like, man, I'm afraid of them.
Okay. Next question. Back to.
Do you have an answer on that one?
I lean towards Ben Johnson okay. because now he was the hottest name. Everybody feels like he's going to have kind of a McVay. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. The Minnesota Vikings head coach.
O'Connell.
Like they think that he's going to have that type of impact. So I'll go with. If most of the teams around the NFL thought he is the next guy, then I'll go with the majority of general managers felt like he's the next guy to have that big positive impact over time. I hear okay. what you're saying, but I think over time they're going to be like, we don't have to worry about head coaching
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, next one. Obviously, the NFC Championship game was two NFC East teams. Now, I'm going to ask this over a long period of time, not next year, because I think it's close to impossible. But how will the Cowboys get better than the Eagles or the Commanders over the next 4 years? The reason I say 4 years is because Dak supposedly has 4 years left as the quarterback, and Shoddy has 4 years to be the coach. So over this Shoddy Dak time, how do they get better than the Eagles and the Commanders?
Like, how are they going to try? Because they are going to draft and hope that that's good enough and then spend about $1.5 million on players that they add in free agency that are guys they'll keep around for a year or two, and that's about it. That's how they plan on doing it. Build culture, draft within, re-sign those players. What the goal should be is to make the most talented roster. No matter what, give yourself the most talented roster. Give Brian Schottenheimer the best chance possible by having that talent. This morning, if you were listening to Sean and RJ, they had Ross Tucker on. And he said, they asked him, is Nick Sirianni a great head coach? And he said, this is a guy that grew up an Eagles fan, covers the Eagles, all right? He said, that's a difficult question to answer because 2 out of the 3 years, he's had the best roster, you could say, in the NFL. Give them the best roster. That's the way you win. You have to have talent on the field in order to win football games and win big football games.
I have three things that I could think of. I think two of them are somewhat realistic. Dak stays healthy, and then CeeDee and Micah really do turn into the absolute best at their position. Like, I think that's what you're going to need. I just don't know how realistic that is, but that's what I'm going to go with. You're going to pay Micah top of the heap money. You paid CeeDee just about top of the heap money. You need them to be like literally the best or second best at their position. And then Dak needs to stay healthy. And I was going to say mobile. That's probably not fair. Stay healthy for that to happen.
Okay. Next question. DeMarcus Lawrence is a free agent, correct?
Believe yes. so.
Does DeMarcus Lawrence make more sense for the Washington Commanders and where they're at budget-wise and Dan Quinn and the chance to win more than the Cowboys? Or should he, like, if you were DeMarcus Lawrence and his agent and the Commanders were after you and the Cowboys wanted to keep you, like, I feel like there's a good chance that the Commanders make a run at DeMarcus Lawrence, and that makes more sense to end his career there than here.
Now, they do have Dorrance Armstrong, who was DeMarcus Lawrence's backup most
right.
of the time when he was here. So, and they love Dorrance, and he was good this year.
Yeah.
He was really good this year. I think that, yes, if he was willing to take a backup role and less money to try to win a championship.
How much less money?
What do you think he's going to get offered here for the, or by the Cowboys?
$6 million.
If he was willing to take that for Washington, I think he'd be fine.
So
$7 million. Like,
okay.
And they have, what, $100 million to work with now?
And they've got money. Here's the struggle that I have with this, and this isn't totally answer your question, but I would think if I'm DeMarcus Lawrence, I would go to the Commanders because – you know how much DeMarcus Lawrence makes for the Cowboys next year? $7.4 million.
Okay.
You can't stop that. It's done. So whether he plays here, whether he doesn't play here, he makes at least $7.4 million. Now, if you sign him again, he'll make more money than that, assuming you go off a one-year deal. So I would look at that, and I'm like, all right, so you already owe me $7.5 million on the cap before I even sign with you? Or I could go to Washington, who owes me nothing, and I will only count 5, 7, 8, 10, whatever amount you think it's going to be. I think going to Washington makes more sense.
Okay. That's my football questions, because if I ask another one, it'll eat into nuggets.
Oh, and we wouldn't want that. Coming up next, let's do some baseball nuggets.
Rangers Sports Network and the Astros are getting better next.
Oh, no. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and right now, it's time for some baseball nuggets with Mike Bashek.
Okay, so a week or so ago, everybody got mad at the Texas Rangers because you had
you to pay, get it though, right?
Right, because you had to pay $100 to watch all of their games next year on Victory Plus. And all I could say was, be patient.
But the way they roll, sorry.
I don't know if the Rangers did that or Evan Grant got it from somewhere, and they're like, I'm rolling with it, and then the Rangers had to roll with it.
It was not helpful. If it was Evan, not helpful for the team.
So Evan Grant, and if you go to MLB Trade Rumors and other places, here's the great news. And there's not specifics in this, but it's specific enough to go, all right, now that you got mad at us, or me specifically, because I'm the one person you can get mad at that's on the radio every day from this, is the Rangers announce the creation of Rangers Sports Network from owner Ray Davis. One of the main goals when seeking solutions for Rangers television broadcast was to give more fans access to our games. There's about 16 million people in the area, and I say just area. This also includes Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, all of the state of Texas. They have that region. And only 3 million people over the last few years had the ability to watch Texas Ranger games. They want all 16 million people to be able to watch the games. Yes, it says in this that they have a deal that's already in public with Victory Plus that you can pay $100 if you want to watch it on an app. That's the way to watch the Ranger games. But by creating their own network, the Rangers can negotiate contracts with different cable and streaming providers to handle in-market broadcasting, which the Rangers plan to announce additional deals with cable and broadcast television providers in the coming days. So I would say, I'm going to guess, but I honestly don't know this. In the next 48 hours, I believe, the Rangers are going to tell you all the different ways that if you have, and I'm just throwing out these, I don't know if they've created deals with these. Hulu, YouTube, keep naming providers you can.
DirecTV is what popped to mind.
Fubo.
Tubi.
They're going to be so many different ways to watch the Texas Rangers that your head's going to blow. And you're going to be like, gosh, I cannot believe that I yelled at Mike Bassick on 105.3 The Fan for the Victory Plus thing.
That people like DM you and like, yeah, hey, like, stupid jerk.
First of all, I don't own the Texas Rangers. Second of all, I don't leak the information. Third of all, why get mad at me? Right. What do I have anything to do with this?
You're the voice. Whenever I hear people talking, I hear your voice. So I'm like, I gotta talk to that guy. I gotta talk to him.
Yeah.
I know he can fix it.
But Evan Grant, Dallas Morning News, writes that the various forthcoming contracts are expected to expand access to nearly every household within the club's broadcasting territory, which includes not just all of Texas, but most of Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arkansas.
Wow.
So if you are listening to us right now, obviously our we have a big, whatever we call it.
Signal.
Signal is...
It's a big stick.
Is... You can't even hear us all the places that the Rangers have their territory.
Okay.
So if you're listening on YouTube right now or the Odyssey app, however you're doing it, thank you.
So it's kind of like the Lion King.
Like, this is going to be huge.
All of this is
that
ours.
Everybody listening in those five states I mentioned.
Yeah. Okay, that's very exciting.
Are going to be able to watch the Rangers very easily the rest of your life.
So what are you gonna price this at then, Mike? What are your am I gonna have to pay a lot to you for this?
Mike is not in charge of this.
I assume this. If you pay for DirecTV, Dish Network, Spectrum, YouTube TV, FUBU, Hulu, whatever the crap you have. You're going to get the Texas Rangers, so deal with
it. Okay, all right. You just got to find the right one.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to watch the Texas Rangers every game because they're going to give you access to the Texas Rangers every game, whether you like it or not.
I feel like people are generally in favor of this, but like this seems like a great thing for, for Rangers fans who have been... Feels like they've been stuck for like the last 3 years. That's a good way to
put it. They've been shafted for a while.
So I was watching yesterday. I turned on the Rangers podcast with Jeff Wilson and John Rattigan, and they had on Dave Raymond. And it's the Rangers DLLS podcast. And they were talking about this. And John Rattigan brought up some great points because he worked for Fox Sports. He worked for Bally's. And he said, look, he was bringing up the Bally's and Fox Sports were easily handing over $110 million a year to the Rangers, and they had like 200 employees that they were paying.
Yeah.
And Bally's was making money, and the Rangers were making money. And he was saying, look, he has no clue about the numbers, but think of it this way. The Rangers own it all now. So I'm not saying this year they're going to make $200 million off of television. Sure. I don't think that's the case. But this is good. The Rangers are actually forward thinking on this because a lot of teams went back to Bally's, now called FanDuel, and they just took 80% or 60% of what they were getting paid and said, screw it, we're just doing this. The Rangers are looking at this, Ray Davis and Neil Liebman and other people too. I'll just say those two because I know that they're somewhat, obviously Ray Davis, majority owner. But they're looking at this going, hey, if they were able to pay us $110 million and pay 200 employees and they were making boatloads of money and they were also paying us $110 million, how much could there be if we do it all ourselves? So I think future, this could be very beneficial financially for the Rangers, which you might say, who cares? But because there's no salary cap in baseball, it does matter. So that way you're hoping that that extra money they get off of television goes to getting the best premium players.
Three things. I'll make them real quick.
Okay.
From the 214, thanks, Mike, for working with Ray Davis to help us see the Rangers.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was all me.
From the 903, will it be on cable, Mike? Mike has said yes.
Sounds like yes.
And then I had a friend text me personally and ask if it'll be on TikTok. So will they be on TikTok?
I don't know. I will tell you this. I think this week, if not, I think next week, I don't know. I'm not in charge of announcing these things. That is, believe it or not, the Rangers, and I'm not the Rangers. Oh. I have a Rangers hat on. I do work for the Rangers. I don't know all of their plans when they're releasing.
You cried when they won the World Series.
I still cry today that they did it. So I do think whatever you have, if you're listening, whatever you have, if you do have a stream that you're watching television on, or you are watching it through what you'd consider DirecTV or Dish Network or Spectrum, your cable providers, I believe you're going to get very good news in the next 48 hours on how you're going to be able to watch the Rangers. And you still do have the Victory Plus thing, which they've already provided. That's an app. If you just watch everything off of apps, you have the app way to watch it.
And I would say from that perspective, especially if the Rangers are going to be running this, you support by signing up, you support their advertisers. Like, that's how they're going to build money off of this. If you're like, hey, I want you to spend money on the team, that's how that's going to work.
Yeah, and I think the Rangers are in a tough situation in this. They're just like the Stars and the Mavericks. They actually have to win for your support. The Cowboys are in a great position. They don't have to do jack squat on the football field for your support. Like, it doesn't matter. In fact, right now, go to Dallas Cowboys and buy all the things that aren't on sale for them, you know, because that's what they really want right now.
The 817, great job, Mike. When are you going to fix the Mavs network? So they're asking now if you can work on that since you've done this job with the Rangers.
Well, aren't they?
They got it on free TV.
I feel like
what's
most people are happy that it's on Channel 29.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while they're on ABC. I think that the Mavericks have provided a very good way to watch. The Stars have provided a very good way to watch. I think the Rangers are going to provide, to be honest, the Rangers are going to outdo those two organizations by leaps and bounds on ways to watch.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can either watch on Channel 29 or you can buy the Mavs app. Those are the two ways to watch. And they're very good ways to watch. Yeah. I'm not saying that's bad. The Stars are like, look, we have an app you can watch the games on for free. For now, it's for free.
Agreed.
I will say that the Rangers are going to provide you about 12 different ways to watch their games.
And you can listen to them right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Also for free.
And I do think they're going to have a very good team this year. And I didn't get to it. Maybe I'll get to it in Mike Likes It. I do think the Astros are becoming a major threat again because they made a trade. They traded Ryan Pressly to the Chicago Cubs. It opened up $8.5 million, and everybody is saying that that is going to be used to bring Alex Bregman back. I thought he was going to be gone. They did lose Kyle Tucker. That is a very good player for him. But, man, they're still going to have Altuve playing left field, it sounds like. And they got Isaac Padres, if I'm saying his last name right. I know it looks like to me Padres, but he is probably going to move to second base, they think, which moves Altuve to left field. Bregman will be at third. They have Peña at short. They have, obviously, one of the best hitters in the game in Yordan Alvarez, who's going to be probably a primary DH. Like, they are set up to be a very big threat in the West.
From Manager Dantastic on Twitch, I'm going to say manager because it says MGR, especially a huge thank you to Mike for making this all possible. And then from the 817, dear Mike, thank you for the Rangers viewing getting better. Shut up about the Cowboys, please. Oh. Also, can you get the parking tickets to be cheaper? Since you're in charge.
Oh, wow.
I like this.
That's a good question.
Because everybody who is blaming me for last week or 2 weeks ago is now giving me credit. One, I do not deserve any credit
for
this.
But you didn't deserve the blame either.
Two,
so it's only fair.
I don't deserve any of the blame for you guys getting mad.
I'll never credit anybody else.
That they put it on the Victory Plus app.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, sponsored by Mike Bassett. Coming up next, Mavs beat the brakes off the Wizards. What else do you think? He got two segments in a row. And is Dallas just trying to hold on till the All-Star break? Next on The Fan.